be defeated. And we saw, first of all, you can't defeat God because of the power that he has. And that power is awesome. And we talked about how great it was and how wonderful it was. And also, for some, how scary it can be too. But not only that, we need to see, and we saw a part of the reason God cannot be defeated is because of his glory. And that, and I hope you understood, we were not talking about just how big he could shine, but we saw that glory had to do with who he really was. When Moses said, "I want to see you," God allowed him to see him. He saw his majesty. He saw his power. He saw his love. He saw his care. He saw his concern. He saw his desire to always do what was right. And that's who God is, because he's a spirit. And so today what we want to do is we want to look at God and see how great he is and how wonderful he is, and that nobody can defeat God because of the plan that he has. And it's important that we understand that. Understand the plan that God has instilled in this world, and from the beginning of time, even before time, God had all this in plan. Because God loves his people. Do you believe in luck? I've had people say, you know, the old song, it used to be, I don't hear it anymore, but it used to be, if I didn't have any bad luck, I had no luck at all. Have you felt like that sometime? Sometimes people talk about luck, and they talk about luck. I don't believe in luck. I really don't believe in luck, because I think it's something that I believe in God, but I don't believe in luck. Listen to this definition, and I want you to see this. This is a definition of luck. The force that seems to operate for good or ill in a person's life, as in shaping circumstances, events, and opportunities. Another definition. Good fortune, advance or success considered as the rest of as chance, or has to do with chance. Now, that first part of that definition, I don't see that as luck. I see that as God. Because God's got a plan. Do you believe God's got a plan for your life? I think God has a plan for everybody's life. And what we have to do is to try to get on God's plan so that we can operate like God would have us to operate. Now, I don't believe in luck. I do believe in God. And so I've got to go to God. Some people say, well, wait a minute, you know, there's some things that just happen by chance, you know. They just happen that way. Listen if you would, Proverbs 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Now, when the apostles were going to appoint another one to work with them, Matthias, what did they do? How did they pick him out? Well, somebody said they cast lots. Now, you know what that was. What they would do is take a stone and they would spit on one side of it. So one side was wet, one side was dry, and they'd throw it up. And whichever side it landed on was either, for us in our doing this, heads or tails. I guess spit or non-spit. I don't know how you do that. But that was how they cast their lots for that person. And you say, wait a minute, I don't know about that. And I've had people say, well, you mean they were gambling? No, they were casting lots. It's all in terminology, I think. But they were casting lots for this. Nothing wrong with it. And you say, well, is God the one that's turning that either this way or that way? Evidently, that seems to be what they were thinking. That seemed to be the thinking that they had in their minds at that time, was this is going to be something that God is going to determine. Now, I'm not saying when you get up in the morning, you're going to start flipping a coin as to which way you go and what you do, and God's going to gain, he's going to determine all the time what that is. But I think God is involved in our lives more than we realize. And he wants to be even more involved in our lives and help us to see the importance of serving him, the importance of doing his will. And we need to recognize the power that God has for us. God has a plan for this world, and he has a plan for you in your life. And he wants you to work within that plan. We've got to be willing to do that. Now, in Jeremiah 1 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, Lord, I know that it's not in man to direct his own steps. It's just not in man to be able to guide himself. And we've got to recognize that. If man's left alone, you know what we do? We get ourselves into sin. If man's left alone to make his own decisions, then he'll decide to go the way of the flesh generally. Not the way of God, not the way of the Spirit of God, but we'll go the way of the flesh. We'll decide that. Mark, in this morning, trying to talk or talking about the book of Colossians, was trying to help us to see that, you know, we got to be involved in God's plan, that God's got a way. That's what this whole thing's about. What's God's plan? What's God's way? Does God even have a plan? Or is all this just something that's going to happen, and it may happen one way, and it may happen another way? We don't know exactly how it's going to be. So what we want to do today is to see some of these things. Now, one of the first things I want us to see is that God has an eternal plan. God has a plan, and he planned this before creation. This thing of God and his operating, directing this world did not just start according to man. Sometimes people believe that, well, you know, God had his plan of how he was going to deal with mankind, but then Adam and Eve messed up, and they thwarted God's plan. No, they didn't. God had a plan. I don't understand all of it. You may not understand all of it. That does not mean that God doesn't have a plan. It means that I don't understand it, and you don't understand it. But it's God's plan, and God had all this worked out. God, do you think God did not know that Adam and Eve are going to sin? Do you think God did not know that people were going to take his son and hang his son on a tree? In fact, if you understand what God's trying to say, that was the purpose of God from the beginning of time. That was one of those secret things that was revealed to those people at that time, that those people said, it can't be. The Son of God, God's messenger, God's Messiah that's going to be coming to this earth, he could not be one that's hung on a tree. He could not be one that walks and has a body like we have. And that's the reason that many of those people could not accept Jesus Christ, because he didn't fit what they thought was God's plan. Now, if those people could misunderstand the plan of God, do you think you could misunderstand the plan of God? Do you think I could misunderstand the plan of God? We certainly can. What we've got to do, and that's the reason that we need to be people of the Word of God, to make sure we know what God's plan is all about. We've got to know that. But I want you to understand, first of all, this is an eternal plan. God had it planned even before this world was created. Now, you say, I don't understand that. Okay, that's okay. Most of us don't understand that. But what we've got to do is to understand what God says within God's Word, what God wants us to do. Jesus described this. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 25 and verse 34. Matthew 25 and verse 34. Here Jesus is talking, and he's talking about people that are going to be facing the judgment. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Now, this is the part I want you to understand. It's here God has a kingdom that's prepared for people. All right, now, look at when he started that. Here's this kingdom that is prepared for you from the what? Foundation of the world. From the beginning of the world. Before the foundation was laid, there was a plan there. And if you're going to build a house, you want a good foundation. And if you're going to build a house in the city, what you've got to do is have your plan and go down and get them to approve your plan so that it can be installed in the right way and the house can be built the right way. So here Jesus is saying God had this thing prepared before the foundation of the world was even laid. Now let me tell you something. That was a long time. That was into eternity. That's God having the plan done, having the plan set in mind that we're supposed to follow. That the plan, how he was going to save us, the plan how he was going to cleanse us. Now, please don't go to the extreme to think that that means that I don't have a choice. You have a choice. God has His plan. But let me tell you something. We're going to see some people in a little while that they wanted their own plan. And they didn't go by the plan of God. Today, you can either go by the plan of God or you can go by your own plan. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In the beginning, I'll give you the conclusion of that. You go by your own plan, it's going to fall. It's going to fall. You've got to go by the plan of God because it will not fall. It is eternal. It is something that cannot be destroyed. It doesn't make any difference. When I think about this, I think about Marshall Keeble, an old black preacher of years ago. He used to tell people, God's going to be right if everybody else is wrong. And that's true. What God wants done is going to be done no matter if you agree to that or I agree to that or the whole world disagrees with it, it's still going to be done God's way. And so what we've got to do is to find out what God's plan is and follow God's plan. Now, turn to Ephesians 1 and verse 4 if you would. Ephesians is a great book. It's a book that helps us to see the importance of the church. It tells us, just as He chose us in Him, listen to this, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, the purpose, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. God chose us. God chose people to be holy and blameless before Him. Now let me tell you something. I know there's a Mosaical and a patriarchal and a Christian age, but this is something that passes all ages. God has always asked His people to be holy and to be blameless before Him. In the Mosaical, the patriarchal, or the Christian age, He's asked us, that's what He wanted those people to do. You say, well, now they didn't have baptism. I know they didn't, but God had given them a will and a law to follow, His will and a law to follow, and they were to follow that law. And even today, those people that lived under those other dispensations have the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse them. They're right before God. They're free of their sins. They don't have those sins on them anymore. Somebody said, well, you know, I had a fellow one time say, don't say it that way, that God, that the sins are rolled forward for another year. I like it to said that way, so I say it that way. They were. They offered those bulls and goats, but we see from the Hebrew writer that that was not enough to cleanse them. What they needed was the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now the blood of bulls and goats helped them to come over and to understand that blood that was shed by the Son of God. It helped them to comprehend what God was trying to do. It helped them, listen to this, to comprehend the plan of God. To understand that. It helped them to be able to see that. So here, these people here understood, and they were before the foundation of the world, that, now this is it, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. That's what God's always wanted. That's what God always will want. He wants us to be holy people. Now, what does holy mean? It means that we're set apart for a particular use. You know, look at this. See these things down here? Those are holy tools. Did you know that? Because they're holy, the bread and the fruit of the vine. Now please don't worship them. They're not there to worship. Man's problem is we'll worship anything if you call it religious. I mean, you go to Jerusalem today and they'll worship walls and cities and graves and everything else. Let me tell you something. You worship God and God alone. Now, but these are holy things. They're used for a holy purpose. But God's not talking about that. He's not talking about those kind of things, but what He's trying to do, even in those things, is to help us to be holy people, to be people that are used for God's purpose. This building is not holy. Whoa, I'm going to get in trouble for that one, ain't I? This building's not holy. You know why it becomes holy? Because you as a child of God are sitting in it. It's not a holy building. This building can be used for anything. I got brethren that they'll fuss over, can you eat in the building? Can you not eat in the building? Let me tell you something. They don't understand. This building is a building. It's wood. It's sheetrock. It's metal. It's all that stuff. Holy is you. That's what God wants, holy. You say, well, you know, I'd tell you a joke, but let's go outside. I don't want to tell this in the church building. Well, let me tell you something. One, don't be telling jokes like that. And two, this building is holy because people meet in it that are holy. That's what God wants. He wants holy people. He's not looking just for a holy place. He's looking for people that are holy from the heart out. From the heart out. That's what God wants. He wants people holy. Now, listen if you would at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. God has said, come and follow my plan. And Paul said, Timothy, God has done this for us. He's done it for you. He's done it for everybody. This holy calling, not according to the works, to our works. God didn't call us because we were such good people. Go read the book of Romans. We were enemies. We were fighting against God. We were going against God. He said, and God didn't come down and say, boy, look at that. Look at old Charles. He is the best fella. He is so wonderful. I just got to save him. No, he came down and he saw my sins. He saw everything that I do that's wrong, all the way that I'm trying to do my own plan, my own way, my own thing. And the problem is, God said, hey, I still love him anyhow. I still love him anyhow. And I want to save him. Here, Paul is saying to Timothy, here's God's plan. The counsel of the, purpose and grace which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. He said, God has been calling people all the time. That's what God wants. He wants people to come and be a part of his eternal plan. So this plan that we have did not just start in 33 A.D. And please understand what I'm saying in that. God's plan of saving man started before Jesus Christ came to this earth. It's an eternal plan. That's how important it is. That's a reason that nobody can defeat it. It's a truth that is true and nobody can go against it. It won't do us any good. We can fight it all we want to. It is an eternal plan, and it's going to be an eternal plan. Now, second point I want to get. God's plan is everlasting. And that's a part of what we're talking about now, too. God's plan is never going to stop. It is everlasting. Nobody can defeat it. Nobody can stop it. Nobody can overcome it. Psalms 33, verses 10 and 11. Psalms 33, verses 10 and 11. Listen to what the psalmist said here. The temporal plans that man makes, the plans that we decide. I don't know about you, but I was thinking, okay, now Monday, I got a doctor's appointment, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I've got these plans. You know, on Sunday, I try to sit down and write down what I've got to get done this week. Because if I don't, I won't remember it. And two, it helps me to get it done. But here is man's plan. I've got what I want to do. I've got how when I want to do it. I've got where I want to be. That's my plans. But listen at this. Psalms 33, verses 10 and 11. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. Here's a nation that decides what they're going to do. And God says, no, you're not. Understand, God's in control. We think we're in control, but we're not. God is in control. Now, we may look at this world and say, well, it looks like this world's out of control. Let me tell you something. God is always in control. Some people have decided not to go with God's plan. They've decided they want to go with their own plan. And that's what's happening. But let me tell you, God's plan, I don't care if everybody decides they don't want to go with God's plan is still going to be fulfilled. What I've got to do is to make sure that my life is going according to the plan that God has set up. That's what I've got to do. And not go my own way, not do my own thing, but do what God wants me to do. And so here it says that the counsel of the Lord stands how long? Forever. God's plan is forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. God's plan is true. It doesn't get old. It's not just for this generation and not for that generation. It's for every generation. And it will be fulfilled. It will be carried out. There have been times when, in the past, when you can go back and look at religious history where it looks like that the church is dead. Let me tell you something. Church has always been alive. It's never been dead. Somebody said, oh, you remember the Pentateuch, 400 years where God didn't say anything? No, that wasn't God not saying anything. It was us not listening to Him. That was the problem. God was still there. God still had His power. God still had His strength. His plan was being fulfilled. And even after that 400 years, look what happened. God's plan was still going on. Here's the church. It wasn't stopped. It wasn't thwarted at all. God's plan was still in force, and no one could overcome it. We need to notice that we have the plan of man and the plan of God, and the plan of man is there for us to follow if we want to choose that. Now, you have the choice today to either be here or not be here. Some people chose not to be here. Some people would love to be here but can't be here. Some choose to come back tonight. Some choose not to come back tonight. That's a choice you got to make. But what's God's plan? What would God want you to do? That's the thing we've got to find out. What is the plan of God in my life? Not what do I have planned, but what does God have planned? How does God plan all this? How does God set all this in motion? We need to understand that. We need to understand that God's plan is going to be completed and it's going to be done. Now, I want you to see something. In Jonah 1 and verse 1 through 3, listen to Jonah. You know the story of Jonah, but got to go back and look at it again. Here is Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. All right, now what's that? That's God coming down and saying to Jonah, like me talking to Ricky, Jonah, I want you to go over to Nineveh and I want you to preach. Okay? That's God's plan. What's Jonah do? He don't go to Nineveh. He goes the other way. He gets on a boat, and he's sailing out of the way. He doesn't want to do God's will. He doesn't want to do the will of God. And sometimes God puts roadblocks in our way. Or maybe He puts a ship in our way that's in the midst of a storm. That's what happened to Jonah. You see, here's God's plan, Jonah's plan. God says, go that way. Jonah says, I'm going this way. I'm not doing that. Why? He hated the people of Nineveh. They were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. Why in the world should he save them? Look at what they've done in the past. They've done wrong. They've done this. They've done that. I don't want those people saved. And so I'm not going to go preach to them. Jonah gets on that boat and he starts sailing away. And as he goes, then the sea starts coming up, and the sea starts coming up, and Jonah then realizes, wait a minute, this is not according to God's plan. You ever tried to plan something, and then you realize God didn't want you to do it? Now, I'm not saying He's going to come down and do like that and tell you that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God sometimes thwarts our plans because His plan is going to be carried out. Jonah said, I'm the one. Cast me out in the sea. Throw me out there. They did. Big fish came up and got him. I don't know what it was. Argue that all you want to. Was it a whale? Was it a big fish? Or what was it? I don't know. People are worried about fish when they need to be worried about their soul. Forget about the fish. God prepared it. Carried him over to Nineveh. Spit him up. He said, okay, now you do my will. You do my plan. You follow my plan. He needed to follow the plan of God. Brethren, we need to do the same thing. Now, if we turn in our Bibles over to Acts, and we look at a passage there, we look at Paul in Acts 9 and verse 7. Here, Stephen had died just a couple of chapters before that. Stephen was dead. Paul was standing there. He said, let me hold your coat, boys, while y'all throw the rocks at him. And that's what happened. And so here, Stephen is stoned. Paul then says, you know, these people need to suffer. They need to suffer. and they're going to suffer. And he went in and he got the paperwork to go haul people and to put them into prison. He had the power. I don't know if they gave him a badge, it's a star or what on it, but he had the power to go get those people, and he went and he was ready to go haul those people back. But in Acts the 9th chapter, he meets the Lord on the way. And the Lord in Acts 9 in verse 5 said, it's hard for you to prick against the goad. It's hard. And y'all know what that was. That was that stick to get that ox to move a little more. You just kind of stick him just a little bit. And you know, most of us, if you stick us with something sharp, we'll move. Maybe not far, but we'll move a little. And so here, he was being stuck. What was that he was sticking him with? I think Paul thought, maybe this Christianity's right. Maybe I'm wrong, but he was going by his own plan. And he forgot about the plan of God. What was God doing stopping him on the Damascus Road? God was trying to help him to see the way he needed to go, the plan he needed to follow. You say, does God do that today? Yes, he does. How does he do that today? He may do that by somebody saying, hey, listen, why don't you come down and come to church with me? Why haven't you been coming to church? We miss you. You say, well, is that God? Yeah. That's God's people telling other people to come to God. Sometimes even telling God's people to come to God. So here is him going against the plan of God. God wanted him to be helping the church to grow, but he was trying to kill the people that were in the church. He was trying to put them into jail. He was trying to oppose them. In fact, you go on to read about Paul, and he says, I did many things against the church. I mean, I fought against it. What was he doing then? He was doing his own thing and forgetting about God's thing. He was doing it his own way and forgetting about God's way. He didn't know the plan of God, and it was bothering him because maybe he had a glimpse of that. But now, when his eyesight was taken, when he was there, I'll say on the ground, and if you want to, fell off the white horse, argue that one. We worry about things that are not even there. He then understood the plan of God. And he said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. He said, let me tell you something. I've got my eye on the plan of God, and I'm going to follow God's plan no matter what. Well, they'll throw you into prison. Okay, I'm going to do that. Or we go back even farther than that, they'll cast in a den of lions. Okay, I'm going for that. Or they'll throw you in a fiery furnace. Okay, we'll do that. Whatever we got to do. You see, we've got to follow God's plan. I don't care what happens. I don't care who opposes God's plan. I don't care what they say they're going to do to us. In fact, you read Revelation, it said, be faithful even if you've got to die to be faithful. Revelation 2 and verse 10. You do that. We say, oh man, I'd die, but I don't think I'm coming back Sunday night. Nobody's going to probably put a gun to your head and say, if you go to church, I'm going to shoot you. But we thwart the plan of God by not assembling, not praying, not giving, not serving, not doing the will of God. And you see, that's the bad thing about it. It's not that these things are the worst things in the world, but what these things are doing, they're going against the plan of God. You're really going up against God and saying, God, I'm not going to do your will. I'm not going to go your way. And we don't realize that. We don't see that. But that's what it is. And that's where we're doing that. Now, look if you would. I want us to see something. I want us to see the plan of God. In Genesis 1, God created man. Man sinned. Do you think God knew about that? I think so. God started providing a way. In Genesis 6 and Genesis 3, we are able to see there where mankind rebelled against God. In Genesis 6, the whole world, it seemed like, rebelled against God except one man and his family. Well, why didn't God just say, that's it, the plan's over with? God had his plan in mind before we were born, and he knew everything that was going to happen. I didn't say he determined that. I said he knew that. You see, God has his plan. You can either work with it or you can work against it, but his plan's going to be carried out. It makes no difference what you or I do. His plan's going to be carried out. And so here these people had sinned. What did God try to do? God said, listen, I'm going to save these people. I want to do that. And we can see in Genesis where he talked there about the seed of woman that was going to come, and it was going to be something to where that one was going to have his heel bruised, but he was going to deliver a head blow to Satan. That's God's plan. God's plan is to overcome Satan. But God, that's not his purpose. His purpose is to save mankind. That's what it is. Now, the old law, how good was it? Listen to what Paul said about it in Romans 7, verse 7. He said, I would not have known sin except through the law. The law came and said, this is wrong. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. What's it trying to do? It's trying to show us the right way to go. You go down the road here, and you know, during this storm, I've heard that some of the roads were closed. You go down through there, and somebody's standing there and said, the road's closed, or they got a sign, the road's closed. What are they telling you? Don't go down through there. There is danger there. What's the law telling us? Don't do that. There's danger in that. There's danger. Don't do that. Don't follow that. God wants us to go the right way. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 1, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 6 for just a minute. Okay, I got time. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in where it's at, Christ Jesus. We have all these spiritual blessings that God has given to us. That's a part of the plan of God. He wants to give us all these spiritual blessings. He wants to do all that. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him, listen to this, before the foundation of the world, before all this stuff was started, that the purpose, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Shows us how it should be. Shows us what we should have. Shows us what he was trying to do. Shows us the plan of God and what he's doing. And when did he start that? Before the world was even formed. Before light became light and dark became dark. He showed us the foundation of his love, of his plan. And he said, I want you to live a life that is holy. I want you to live a life that is blameless. And I want you to do that because of your love for me. Do you know you can obey God's law and still be lost? Because if you don't want to do it, but you're doing it, it does no good at all. It's got to be done because of love. Because of the love you have for God and the love that you want for his own, for the love you have for him. Having predestinated us, he has set aside that he was going to save some people. Now, some people here go to, well, he's going to save individual people, and he's going to pick this one, and he's not going to pick that one. Let me tell you something. God says everybody that is willing, now look at this, everybody that is willing to be holy and to be blameless, to in love, that's the reason for it, that person's going to be saved. Not an individual. I guess it is an individual. If you're an individual and you want to believe God's will and you want to act like that, then you will be saved. But it's not a matter of God just picking out certain people that he won't save. He's picked them out. Those that are going to be holy, those that are going to be blameless, they're ones that are going to be saved. That's through every law that God has ever given. Through the patriarchal, the mosaical, and the Christian age. That's it. That's it. And we've got to understand that. He wants us to understand that. We are those people that are to the praise and the glory of his grace by which he has made us acceptable. That's what God wants to do. God wants to accept us. We could go on and see in Galatians 2, verses 11 through 19, some of the things that where people are wanting to do their own thing and go their own way and do their own plan and not do God's plan. And he goes through, I want you to read that sometime. He said they are without Christ, they're alienated, they're strangers, they have no hope without God, and they are in this world, and all they have is in this world. God's plan is not for this world. This is just a place. God's plan is for people, for souls. It's not for a place, but it's for the souls of people. That's His plan. That's what God wants. But in Christ, we have been bought, verse 13. We've been bought with a new price. About to forget this thing. We have been bought. We've been paid for. Our ransom that Satan had when he captured us because we wanted to go his way, that ransom has been paid and you are free. You're able to walk out as a servant of God. We're able to be forgiven. God is doing, that's God's plan. God's plan is for every person, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, no matter what country they're from, no matter what blood they have, no matter what color they are, no matter what race they are. Mark said that this morning. It makes no difference at all. Those people who are willing to love the Lord enough to let Him be the one that directs their steps. That's this whole thing. That's what it's all about. Is allowing God to direct our steps. John 14 and verse 3, and if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you might be. I'm going to receive you back. That's what God wants to do. That's God's plan. It's not some big mystery. It's not some big tough thing that you got to go 10 years to a theological school to understand. It's very simple. God has a plan. Get yourself in God's plan. Do it God's way, and you have it all. Simple. Not complicated. We make it complicated. We've got to give it all to God. Get your life in the plan of God. If your life has not been in God's plan, then change. I don't know any other way to tell you, but just tell you that. Change. Do it different. You've got to. If you're breaking the law of man, and you don't want to go to jail, what you better do is change. If you don't, you're going to jail. We've got to recognize that we've got to follow God's plan. So today, if you're sitting here and you're not following God's plan, I want to encourage you to do it. If you're not a Christian, we can tell you exactly how to do that, show you right here. You read it. You tell us what it is. That's God's plan. Not mine, it's God's. Don't fuss at me. You want to fuss? Fuss at God. It's God's plan.